So off we go. Yeah, so welcome, welcome. So my name is Peter. I'm here to explore this topic of self-kindness, you know, from a perspective of this embodied practice called focusing. And some of you know about this practice already. And we may well be touching on things many things you already know, and some of you I'm hoping are newer too. So you'll hopefully I'll be able to kind of speak to both audiences. But I always start every event I do, just a bit of arriving in ourselves. So if you like, it's a greeting to oneself in the present moment. So I'll just lead us through a kind of something very simple around that, a couple of minutes, just arriving, and I'll make some invitations for you to take your awareness to certain places. And if, yeah, follow that if it feels right. If not, just do your own thing quietly. And so you might want to shut your eyes or just rest your eyes ahead of you for this, but make sure you're comfortable. And beginning just to take in the space you're in. It's this funny combination. You're in your own space, and we're in this collective kind of space too. So that is also present with us. But mainly I'm inviting to notice your sense of yourself in your own space, particularly in your body. Just a simple connection or support, or wherever you're sitting on, particularly in the lower back, if you have support there, or just whatever's beneath you. Really noticing your posture, the sort of shape of your body, how it is right now. The edges, like the skin, your clothes. And also noticing that's your sense inside the body. Maybe there's a sense of ease in there right now, an okayness, or maybe there's something different physically or emotionally, or something bothering you in there, or a mixture of many things, or nothing at all that you can sense. And all of that is fine. Nothing is supposed to happen. It's just noticing what is there. Noticing what it's like to have a body right now, to be in this moment together and in yourself. So I'll just leave half a minute of silence for you to just notice, continuing maybe just be curious, how are you right now? And then gently letting that come to a close. I would like to begin tonight's topic by reading a poem. My favorite poem, one of my favorite poems, and it's on the theme of kindness. Some of you may know it. Before you know what kindness really is, you must lose things. Feel the future dissolve in a moment, like salt in a weakened broth. What you held in your hand, what you counted and carefully saved, all this must go. So you know how desolate the landscape can be between the regions of kindness. How you ride and ride, thinking the bus will never stop. The passengers eating maize and chicken will stare out of the window forever. Before you learn the tender gravity of kindness, you must travel where the Indian in a white poncho lies dead by the side of the road. You must see how this could be you. How he too was someone who journeyed through the night with plans and the simple breath that kept him alive. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow. You must speak to it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you see the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes any sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out in the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, "It is I you have been looking for," and then goes with you everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. Okay. So I'll return to one theme in that poem later. But yeah, this theme, the art of self-kindness. And what I'm sharing with you tonight, how I decided to offer tonight was like five different acts of self-kindness, you could say. So we're just sort of touching in on, and they all kind of interrelate, but maybe calling them practices doesn't fit, but five different kind of dimensions of self-kindness. But firstly, I just want to talk about this term, self-kindness. Like, it says something. Right? Already, it implies something. If you like, it implies you being kind to yourself, just in an everyday language, self-kindness, you being kind to yourself. So who is it that's being kind to yourself? Anyway, and this really cuts to the heart of what we're looking at today, is developing a sense of being a listener to oneself. Yeah? Or you could call it developing a bigger self, or presence, or I mean other many different approaches and traditions, and give it a name, but let's just call it developing a listener for oneself, or self-kindness, or a common term that I use a lot in how I teach this practice, focusing as being with. So that's our first act, really, is learning to be with. So this is the main piece we're going to look at today. I'm going to just sort of take us in a few directions from that. And then it's a practical exploration we're going to do now around this thing of being with, or developing a sense of being a listener to ourselves. And for those of you who know focusing already, this is going to be familiar, or some version of it will be no doubt familiar to you. But have a play anyway. So we're going to do, I'm going to lead you through an exercise that really uses our language and our imagination to kind of develop this capacity to be with ourselves. And I call this a spot the difference exercise, because I'm going to invite you to say something in two different ways and notice the difference. Yeah, so it's kind of a bit play, it's sort of playful, but also actually quite profound if in a certain kind of way it points to something big, but it's also just a playful exercise. And I'll be leading you through it. So it'll be something, a guided exercise. And with every guided exercise, well, you know, some people get it, some people find it hard. It's always impossible in a way to everyone to get it, but I hope you learn something from it. So for the purposes of this exercise, I will invite you to choose a sort of slightly troubling or slightly difficult feeling that you have had today or having right now, either emotionally or physically, or a kind of regular thing, a regular visitor in your life, like anxiety or So you may not be experiencing it right now, but you know it's a regular difficult visitor. We're not really going to be diving into that particularly, but we're going to be exploring how we can say it and see if it makes a difference. So yeah, perfect examples would be things like anxiety, irritation, sadness, or tightness. So something in a difficult spectrum that's either physical or emotional, that's here right now or a regular visitor. And we're gonna explore saying it in two different ways, and that'll take us into this whole exploration of being with and beyond that. So I'm hoping that was, is that clear? Maybe someone wave if it was clear. Great, perfect, clear enough. And for those of you who aren't video, you can have a chat if you need to. Or... So it takes doesn't take long, 4 or 5 minutes really, not very long. It's just a kind of led thing, and see what happens. Treat it as an experiment. And for the purposes of this little exercise, yeah, get yourself comfortable. Rest your sort of body. And begin to, again, yeah, gather that sense of just being here in your whole body. Feeling your edges of body, your hands, skin, like the periphery, you could say, your feet, legs, hands and arms. And gathering a sense of awareness also around the rest of your body too. The chest, the belly. You might notice a breath, if that helps to bring some awareness in there. Or just your posture can really help. It's the shape of your body. Just noticing that. And then I'm going to invite you to just say to yourself in your normal way, I feel dot, 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 whatever your word is, I feel anxious, or I feel sad, or tight. Just those some examples. But and just let that kind of drop in a couple of times and just notice the kind of inner quality of it. You could say the bodily quality, or just what's it like when you say that? So dropping in those words, I feel. And maybe it's something comes in the body there, or maybe it's hard to notice, that's fine. And then inviting you just to let that go. Just for a moment, take a breath or two, just pausing. And then instead of saying, I feel, inviting you to say it like this, something in me feels, something in me feels. I'm noticing something in me feeling, whatever your word is. And sense, or be curious, does it feel different? Something in me feels. And then when you're ready, you're just letting that kind of exploration go, broadening your awareness, perhaps looking around the room you're in, so I feel, I'll give you my example. I feel kind of shaky to something in me. It feels shaky. and I noticed the difference, but I'm more curious about what you noticed. And you may not have noticed any difference, and that's also fine. This isn't a kind of work for everyone every time thing, but if anyone would be willing to share, if they notice a difference between saying it one way or another, and you can either do that by talking or you can chat. And if it comes to me, if on the chat, you have an option to chat to everybody or chat to just me. If it's just me, I'll assume it's kind of anonymous, and I'll just read it out as if it's somebody without saying who you are. If it's chat publicly, then obviously I'll. So, yeah, did you sense a difference, and how could you describe that? And then I'll just carry, yeah, and I'll say a bit more after that, but just let's have a couple of minutes. Okay. Yeah. Go for it. G, I'll unmute you. Oh, hang on. Gotcha. You're muted.
Oh, yes. I said I'm afraid, and when I wasn't actually feeling afraid today or now, but when I said that, all of a sudden I felt, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I was kind of taking over.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't overwhelming, but it was just, sure. Oh gosh, yeah. And I think then when you asked us to say, there's something in me that feels afraid, you know, it became smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like in focusing. But what I found interesting is I felt sort of protective towards it. So it was like really, it was a part in me. And I was like, oh, all right. I felt really pure. I was like, oh. So I can take care of this.
Right. That's interesting. Yeah. It's quite a whole added, well, in a way, kindness, isn't it? But a dimension of like you taking care of it. That's interesting. Yeah. And then, yeah, sometimes that happens. That's right. Thank you. Great. Lovely. Anyone else want to say anything they noticed? Or if it, indeed, if it's like, I don't get that, or it didn't work, it's all fine. It's not, as I say, it sometimes really hits a spot and sometimes doesn't.
Can you hear me?
I can.
I know, I still don't know how to find myself again. So.
I can see you and hear you. You're there. That's right. You're definitely here.
I mean, the difference I noticed was when I said something in me feels scared, because scared was my feeling was, I just felt tears coming then.
Oh,
and
yeah.
A little bit like that, you know, that wanting to, yeah, I felt actually there was some sympathy or something as well arising for it. Yeah, this little place. Yeah, you know, I imagined it was a little place. That's what came.
Yeah.
This little place feeling scared. So that something in me, yeah.
Thank you, yeah, yeah.
Changed.
So both an emotional quality came, but also a sense of you being with it somehow, or sympathy or something like that.
Yes,
Great. Thank you, yeah. Yeah, someone saying, yeah, I didn't feel a difference. That's right. I couldn't connect to the feeling of sadness in either way. That's right. And that's that can happen. As I say, it's something that may not be the right words or the right time, or there's a nuance to it that it does point to something. It's the principle of it, I'll talk about a bit more in a minute, but how to do it this isn't the only way, if you like, to develop a sense of listening to oneself or being with oneself. Many reasons why it wouldn't quite develop a sense of a listener, let's say, or being with. But that's his aim. Yeah, anyone else? We've got time for one more. Noticing, and if you notice something.
Hi there, Shibby. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Okay, yeah, just very briefly, the I represents the hall. So
yeah.
When I said I'm feeling stressed, my wholeness was feeling stressed.
Right, yeah, yeah.
When I said something in me is feeling stressed, it was drastically reduced to a part of me.
Yes.
And that de-stressed me.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, yeah, great.
The stress is nowhere near as strong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Thank you, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, we tend to, over-identify with our experience, or is that the right word? Or sometimes, let's say, we fall into our experience. And it's hard to get a sense of any space around it or listening to it. You know, I do this many times a day, if you like it. Just get lost in something. More specifically, when I'm with my 7-year-old son and we're having a bad moment. And I get, for example, I'm just like, I'm just angry. Like, I can't feel me listening to some part of me that's angry. Like, I'm just angry or frustrated. And in that moment, I've identified with something, if you like, I've merged with it. Many different ways of looking at this, but it's like there's no space around it, there's no listener. But this is one way to invite something of a listener, where inevitably it would feel sort of perhaps smaller, or like it's not all of you, or you'd be able to keep it company. You might feel it more physically. Many things can happen in this sort of transition. So I've got a kind of visual to show you this, and then we'll sort of spin off from there, and I'll pause at various moments for questions or anything like that. So for those of you who don't like soft toys, I apologize, but now I'm going to bring out one. So this is my friend to often demonstrate this with me. It's a lemur. I got this lemur in Dublin Airport about 15 years ago. So when we do this movement from I feel to something in me feel, it's like a movement for identification. So if you're like, I'm going to put it here, like it's all of me, like right here. I feel afraid. Something in me feels afraid. It's quite hard with this small camera, but you get the idea. It moves like, and I can hear, I can listen to it. So it becomes something you can then listen to or be with. There's a movement from identification to being with. So maybe the image gets it better than the words do. It's like, it's just a part of me that feels scared. It's not all of me. It's not all of me. So that's a key thing, you know, that we think it's all of us, and very often it feels like all of us. Sometimes it is. That's a caveat here. Sometimes it is all of us, but many times it isn't, right? It's just a part of us. I say just, it is, I don't want to make it smaller. It is a part of us that's feeling sad or scared. So you can just see it resting there on my knee. So something in me feels scared. And immediately, or at least if that helps to develop that sense of being with, I'm there, I can listen to it. That's already an act of kindness in a way. So that's our first act of kindness, is just being with, just giving ourselves some sense of space to be with ourselves. So that's, the first act of kindness. The second really is an extension of this practice, to really just acknowledging all of our voices, all of the things that go inside of us. Again, I'm aware it doesn't always fit. It doesn't fit every experience, but I think it's been an interesting journey, a very helpful and profound journey to just sort of play a little bit. Like, okay, is that a part of me saying that, or is this a part of me? Who is you? Who is the listener here, and who is what is just a part? But typically, you know, doing this with critical voices, you know, these parts of us that kind of give us a hard time. So yeah, I've got another one here, kind of creature that I often use. This is, just make sure you can see it. Another crazy animal. You're rubbish at this. Don't be so frightened. It's pathetic, you know. So it's some kind of critical part of us, or some kind of voice we hear, or something we tell ourselves. You're useless at this. Okay, something else in me is being really critical. You know, it's just something else in me has showed up. We have so many different parts. Parts of us are anxious, parts of us are sad, parts of us are worried, parts of us are impatient, parts that are shaky, parts that... So in a way, I can just call it acknowledging all the voices. So using this same skill of creating a sense of a listener, of being with ourselves through this practice, or many other practices we can do, but basically creating a sense of a listener is continuing this act of kindness in a way. Where we can be with ourselves, in any state. And here's an important piece here, which is when we acknowledge these voices, I think, and we begin to see that there's something always going on beneath them. So you might think I'm a bit mad saying, why would you listen to these critical voices that say, you're rubbish, you know? Or worse, much worse than that, you know, you're pathetic, everybody hates you. Like, why would I want to listen to that? In a way, it's more like acknowledging to it, and then and then there is this possibility of sensing what's beneath it. I mean, that's the whole practice. You know, we could talk about that. We could do a whole hour, a week seminar on going deep in a way with something like this. But I'm just pointing to the principle that beneath these parts of us that are scared, the parts of us that are critical, the parts that are worried, you know, there's always something kind of more underneath that we can eventually feel empathy for. But it begins, the important thing is it begins with this step of, oh, it's not all of me, it's a part of me. Okay, something in me. Even things like shame, you know, I was working with someone recently and they were experiencing a lot of shame, and it's like, oh, something in me feels ashamed. Shame is such a difficult thing to be with, right? It's so hard. But if we sense it as not all of us, you know, it can often help. So some kind of movement, something in me feels embarrassed, feels ashamed. So I just, yeah, maybe pause there. So that's our sort of, you know, second act of kindness is extending the being with to everything. Pause at that moment and see if there's any questions or anything that comes up. And please feel free to bring in your uncertainties. I'm not sure, and hang on. Oh, hi, Kyla. Oh, got there. Oh, do you want to unmute yourself? Great.
I think I'm pressing it, and you're pressing it.
Yeah.
This is something that I've done anyway. And what I find myself doing is I don't spend any time with any one of them because I just seem to keep going deeper and deeper, or there's another voice, or there's something else, and I just end up with this whole room full without being able to be with any of them in any sort of depth.
Yeah. I can recognize that. I think, our memory comes to something similar, really, when I first started learning focusing this practice. That's often what it felt like. And I'll show you my animals I've got here just today. My goodness. And this is just some of them, you know, like creatures. that's got a whole box of them down there. So sometimes it can kind of get busy. But it does. There are kind of core kind of parts that we end up spending time with. Our main thing is just notice what's there, really, and sometimes just acknowledging all of them. Like I remember working with someone once, and they said, "Oh, it's like a big crowd of birds flapping around." And it was more like the most important thing there that she was able to give a symbol for what she was experiencing. And kind of metaphor for it, but also be with it at the same time. So it's like lots of these creatures, and maybe there's more to say really, but I guess I suppose just anyway, noticing that that's what's happening, it's kind of busy, and maybe something will emerge in time where you'll be able to spend a bit more time with one of them, or regular visitors. You know, you get regular guests, don't we? Like for me, I was just anxious all the time. I still suffer from it. So that's like, okay, it's this one again. Like every day I have this one. Oh, okay, let's spend some time with it. And even though all those other things are still there, you develop over time the capacity, that's my experience, to stabilize, let's say, around it and be with it. Does that make sense?
But
particularly having another thing here is I wouldn't be able to do that without someone else supporting me in that. So this comes on to focusing partnerships and practice, not on my own. Mm. So that really helped the process a lot, for me at least, because I could get someone to kind of guide me a little bit and it just to calm things down a bit, so I could stay with something a bit.
Yeah, that makes sense, because my usual, you know, it's usually when I'm on my own that it just feels like I just want to give up because it's too many.
Yeah, really, that's right.
Holding that, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Thanks, yeah. Okay. Does anyone else want to? I've got some more animals to bring in a minute, but just before we carry on. Okay. So extending this principle a bit more of being with. To even acknowledging, you know, the parts of you that are desperately fighting, rejecting, pushing away, running away from your experience. This is kind of funny thing that you learn how to do in focusing. So they need empathy too, you know, they need acknowledgement. And actually, I really love that. I love that about that. This practice is that it kind of gives you, there's a lot of teachings out there about be kind, you know, be kind, turn towards yourself. And but like, I don't like feeling like this. How do I do this? I feel shit. I don't know. I don't like feeling like this. So focusing gives us space, all this way of working, to have some bad feeling. I've got here, look, a little stone. Bad. I feel bad. I feel heavy. And I hate it. Oh, and something in me hates it. Okay, bring out another creature here. Little troll. So it gives you space to have something in me feels horrible and I hate feeling it. Something in me hates it. Something in me hates it. Something in me is pushing it away, like really. Because often that's what we feel. We just feel tension around a difficult experience. Like, I don't want to feel this. I don't want to feel this grief. I don't want to feel this pain. I don't want to feel this uncomfortable remorse. You know, something in me doesn't want to feel it. That's the shift. And then we acknowledge that. Okay. Well, no wonder, in a way. Like, can we give that part of us empathy? That part of us that pushes away difficult experience. Well, of course it would. It doesn't mean anyway. Maybe you're more kinder to yourself. But most of the time, we're trying to kind of get through life without feeling too bad, aren't we? So we do a lot of this pushing around. I don't like this. I don't like that. Oh, something in me is doing that. So these are the parts of us, yeah, that want to run away, that want to turn off, that want to. And they really need a lot of empathy, if you like. And it starts again with this moment of noticing, oh, okay, it's something in me. Something in me is pushing away this difficult feeling. And ultimately, you know, those parts of us, you could say they're trying to protect you. I don't want to make too many cliches around it because it's really more important to be curious. But, you know, very often they have a sort of function. So, yeah, and it's something that's often missed. Anyway, it's okay to hate your experience. That's the way I like to say it. Oh, great, we can be all of ourselves. So we can have a feeling and a difficult, and we can include some part of us that doesn't like it, that really, really doesn't like it. For me, that makes a big space, you know, opens up a big space of kindness. Right, so we're really, and in that movement of, oh, something in me doesn't want to feel sad, we step often into some bigger sense of being, of kindness or acceptance, you could say. Like, oh, that's right, that's here. So I'll just pause there for a moment. And yeah, invite any questions or wonderings about this. And yeah, and if it doesn't make sense, say, or if it, please. So one thing I'm saying here is it's not in a way you have to say, oh, I've got to be kind. Actually, it's more or less like, can I see it as part of me? It's that acknowledgement of part of you. Then very often some kind of empathy or connection arises from that. But the first step is this sense of being with, it's not all of me. With all these kinds of parts of ourselves, particularly the parts that struggle, yeah. Okay, so that was our third act of self-kindness. So first being with, second acknowledging all the voices, thirdly, turning that same process towards the parts of us that are rejecting experience, pushing things away. So fourthly, this is a bit different. I mean, it's trying to kind of, I'm going to attempt to articulate it. But it's something about cultivating a bigger perspective, or by practicing in this way, we sense a bigger perspective. So I'll say a bit more about this and hopefully it'll make sense. You know, our life and the way we are with ourselves and everything that happens to us is part of a bigger experience. You know, it's always part of a bigger situation that's happening all around us. In your family life, your work life, you know, those kind of situations, but even bigger than that, in a broader sense of culture and society and the planet. So I'll just say that first. Anyway, everything that's happening to us is some, in some way has a, is related to that, right? And here's a quote that says something about that bigger context. At least it speaks to me. I'm hoping it speaks to you. So this is a quote from a writer called Charles Eisenstein. And he's talking about the society that most of us, but not all of us, may live in. I'm not making assumptions about how everyone lives here, but he says, a multiplicity of needs go chronically, tragically unmet in our society. These include the need to express one's gifts and do meaningful work, the need to love and be loved, the need to be truly seen and heard, to see and hear other people, the need for connection to nature, the need to play, explore, to have adventures, the need for emotional intimacy, the need to serve something larger than oneself, and the need to sometimes do absolutely nothing and just be. The multiplicity of needs go chronically, tragically unmet in our modern society. So why do I say that? I suppose it makes no wonder we're having such a hard time, right? So no wonder it's such a difficult thing to be alive in these times. And in a way, realize somehow touching that, which for me happens kind of by itself when we touch into a kind of more embodied sense that we get in focusing, it brings a sense of kindness. Yeah, I'll give you some just examples, just a little example of my own practice around this, or how it just unfolds this awareness. So like many people, I'm quite into my little devices, my phone, and a bit over obsessed with it at times. Oh, I look constantly looking at it and checking it and doing things, and it's something I have a high degree of ambivalence about, but there we go, I have this relationship with it that one could call addicted or just some. And I can easily fall into a kind of, oh, you shouldn't be doing this, you should throw it away, I hate these things, and lots of self-criticism about it. So yeah, many times I've focused on this, and what's happening, you know, what is going on, and what comes through is like, oh, okay, I'm not the only one doing this, like we're all, so many of us are lost in this process, and it might be this, it might be something else, it could be many other kinds of. But it's not a cognitive understanding. It's more like just this sense in my whole being that, oh, this is happening on a massive scale. You know, we're all involved in this process. And from that perspective brings a sense of kindness and ease, really. It's not like I'm forcing myself to feel better. And it's hard to articulate how, I don't even know how I do this, but just this perspective just comes when I take a pause and feel inside of myself. Oh, okay, right. This is not just me. This is a bigger process I'm involved in. And that gives me some kindness to myself. Yeah. So what I'm saying is, it's not like I'm forcing people, I'm not inviting you to kind of try and make yourself feel better, right? Oh, okay, I'll tell myself everyone's doing it. But what I am saying is, it doesn't help to give yourself a hard time about the experience of being human and the struggle we're in. Yeah. We certainly can feel the pain of it, you know, and the disconnection, like, you know, and there's a kind of pain there, and I'll come back to this in a minute. A sense of remorse, but do I need to be critical of myself about it? Like, I'm so bad, I shouldn't be doing this. That's like kind of different. So the point I want to make is it's a real difference between, let's say, a sense of remorse or something that's not right. We feel it in a painful way. There's a difference between that and self-hatred or getting lost in those voices that say we're bad and we're wrong or we don't belong or we're doing something that's terrible. And they're really just parts of us. They're these parts of us here that in their own way trying to stop us do something, right? They're like they use the worst motivational methods ever to try and get us to feel better. It never works, but it's like, oh, perhaps if I, you know, say how rubbish you are, you might change. There we go. But so there's a difference between that, self-hatred, and yeah, some sense of disconnection or remorse, let's call it that, remorse, or something we know is off, right? So yeah, anyway, that all came from bigger perspective, developing a bigger perspective. So that's my fourth act of self-kindness. And I'm not saying I've got a map for you to do that. I'm just pointing towards it. It came kind of naturally, I think, for me in some way. I don't know how, but through focusing, through his practice of embodied awareness. Yeah, but it's taking account of the bigger situation you're in and how hard it is to be just a human being in these times for most of us. I will pause there. Any questions or wonderings that come from this?
Yeah, you again, Peter. Just thinking.
Oh, hi, Carla.
Just noticing how that's really useful when there's that tension between the two things. So for me, it's buying clothes. I love buying clothes.
Yeah.
And then the other part of me is sort of like, oh, I should spend my money more carefully and critical about how I'm sucked in by advertising.
Yeah.
But when I'm being critical about that, that bit of me is really strong. It's saying, oh, but I want them.
Yeah, that's right.
So I wonder whether, like you say, if I'm just more, no wonder I'm finding that really tough, because I'm bombarded with images of people and, you know, in these outfits, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then it gives me space to make a different decision, maybe. Or if it's not a different decision, then it's a more comfortable decision or informed decision.
Yeah, that's right.
I like that one. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah. I mean, you know, and it's a big theme. You know, we could do anyway a whole seminar on that, in a sense, that whole dilemma that we, I don't know how you'd coin that dilemma, but yeah. But great, recognizing it as part, something in me, you know, just taking that step, something in me wants to buy, I get into buying, something in me wants to buy this new camera. I have zero money at the moment, but if I had it, I'd go and buy it. And something else is like, no, why? Like, why do you need this? You don't need this. And can we begin to form a relationship with those forces in us? And then how is all that in the bigger, you know, there's some, yeah, what's going on there? Just be curious, because that's where it begins. And it doesn't really mean do something or don't do something to start with. It's more like, can I be kind and curious about this pattern that I have, whatever that pattern is. Thanks.
Thank you.
So where are we? Oh, everyone's okay. So one last point. The fifth act of self-kindness. Again, this is one that's some sort of developing right now, in a way, in the sense of I'm exploring it. And I think that happens naturally in this practice of focusing, which I'll say about a little bit. I'll explain a tiny bit more about later on. But I guess the essence of this fifth act is find some way of expressing what's true for you, what's happening inside of yourself, yeah, either to yourself or to someone else. Find some way of giving it voice. And I'm using that voice very broadly. I don't mean literally speaking. It could be drawing it or moving it, or find some context where we can have our real our experience and with somebody else being a kind listener to it. Profoundly helpful. As you know, a safe context where we can begin to let what's true inside of us be seen. And it's in a whole ongoing process. It's not like a one-off thing, right? It's sort of can I give some light and air to that inside me, which has never had that? And this really touches a poem I began at the poem called Kindness, at the beginning of the seminar. Sorrow, you know, our grief, a huge important topic that we are terribly equipped to deal with in this culture. Finding a place for some of that, where we can begin to talk about it, and not just personal grief, you know, the grief of what we see around us. So important. Have a conversation about what bothers you with somebody who you know will listen. So you know, it's about partly about finding the right place. Really important. You know, you might not just want to do this anywhere, but find some place here you can give some room for what's true to flow. And that, you know, they can happen in a sort of formal focusing setting, which I'll talk about in a minute. But yeah, it could be many, many contexts where you can do that, or where you could look for them, you know, find those places. You know, there's a whole emergence of death cafes. I've only ever been to one, but for example, is a great example of this, an open space where you can talk about stuff that nobody's supposed to talk about. Great. It's so healthy that happens. So yeah, I think that's an act of kindness to give expression and give space for it. So maybe, yeah, just pausing there. Oh, a question here. Can I recap that? Which piece, sorry, G? The last piece about giving expression. Yeah. Yeah, but, well, that's it. Find a safe place to give some expression and room for you to say what's really true for you. Both difficult things and, you know, the things we love, the things we care about, the things. So anyway, finding some space for that, not just keeping it all unlived, if you like. I mean, that space might be internal. You know, it's often that, first of all, isn't it? You acknowledging the parts of you that feel sad about what's happening to the planet, or feel sad about some loss you've had. This is just an example. But then maybe, yeah, can I find some way of saying this, having it out there, expressing it? I'd want to leave that very broad, what that might mean. I don't necessarily mean talking about it, but it's kind of giving some space, life. Yeah, if that makes sense.
So I can see how there is self-kindness if you, because I think very often I don't think just me, I think people in general, we don't give space to ourselves, to listen to ourselves, to the most difficult or even little, barely difficult, well, just difficult stuff within ourselves. Right. Yeah, so I can see that. Like if you can't even listen to yourself in a way, like how could you allow someone else to listen to you in a way, isn't it? Like maybe to listen to yourself is the first, or maybe the most important, yeah, kindness in the way to give space to
you
can exist and everything in you can exist.
That's right. Right. I mean, to some people it might be harder to, you know, sometimes, yeah, I mean, but anyway, you create a safe space inside yourself, let's say, or safe space outside. Some people it's easier if someone else does it.
Right.
I mean, sometimes that's how therapy works, isn't it? You know, in a way, the therapist is holding that space for somebody more consciously in that dynamic. But yeah, either way, you're finding it, creating a context where what's true can be lived and spoken about and
recognized at least.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just recognized. So we touched on a few different themes, different with this whole topic of being with and being with parts of ourselves that are critical and being with parts of ourselves.
I think there's another question.
Oh, sorry. Where's that? Oh, yeah. I'll look at that in a minute. I've lost it. Okay, let's look at a question. I'm confused between two, being with, and three, can I see it as part of me? Do you mean, well, I'm assuming you mean my point two and point three. They're really extensions of the same thing. It's more like being with I'm using that same practice really to talk about different kinds of parts of ourselves. So being with critical parts of me, perhaps it's easier to see that, but also being with parts of us that don't want to even go, don't want to experience ourselves. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to have this sadness. I don't want to. So it's more extending that same quality, that same relationship of listening to not just parts of us, these voices inside of us, but also parts of us that don't want to experience. I don't want to feel this. I don't want to have this. I hate this. So it's more, it's in a way, it's the same relationship extended to different kinds of parts. Yeah, good. I'm glad that makes sense. It's just often that part three that I was talking about, acknowledging parts of us that are rejecting experience, isn't really made explicit by many people, at least. Yes, we looked at that, extending that to being with different parts of us, and then broadening now in a way, sensing a bigger perspective, that you exist in a bigger perspective, a bigger situation where it is hard. You know, it's hard to be conscious. It's hard to be. We're not supported in so many ways. It's having kindness around that, and then finally this piece around expressing or finding a safe place to have it, even if it's inside ourselves or with others, hopefully. So yeah, those are some acts of self-kindness, and all this really comes from me, more or less, not entirely, from focusing and from one dimension of focusing. So I just want to say a tiny bit about focusing, just for those who are new. Focusing has two. You, let's say very broadly, you learn two things in focusing, in this practice. You learn what we're talking about here. You learn about your relationship with yourself. We learn about developing a relationship with ourselves. A curious and kind relationship. So that's one big thing we learn. And then, you know, there's a whole other thing which you haven't really touched upon in focusing, which is what we pay attention to in a way, what we relate to. That bodily knowing we have that focusing talks about, that sense of, oh, is that vague, uneasy feeling I have, or what is that stirring in me? Yeah, that's a whole other piece of learning I've not touched on in this seminar. But it's there in focusing. So definitely there's two sides, let's say two things in focusing. One is learning about being with. That's the emphasis on this seminar. You could equally do a whole other exploration of what it is we're being with in a bit more, in a bit more detail, and what's interesting about focusing. And that's all a way of saying there's more to focusing than just what we did tonight. I've just touched on one dimension of it and drew it out quite particular, in a particular way. So you might want to learn more. I'm going to be starting a course on April the 5th, just a bit of advertising here, April the 5th, an online course. It's in the mornings, 10 till 12, or Thursday mornings, starting on April the 5th. So it's a 5-week course, 10 hours of learning, teaching the basics of this practice, including what we've been looking at, including more about the different forms of it, how we can use it on our own, how we can use it with somebody else, how we can, many different dimensions of it. But this whole business of self-kindness is a big emphasis of that and how I teach in that course, being with ourselves. So that's, for beginners, new people who are new to focusing, or if you want a refresher, April the 5th. On April the 10th, I'm leading a course for people who know focusing or know a little bit of it, don't have to know much, on what I call everyday focusing. So it's taking focusing, or like, how can I do this practice in a less formal way, just in the moment? How can I use the skills of focusing, of this embodied way of listening, just in like in the moment, snap moments in our day? How can you take it as an everyday skill rather than just some special thing you do in a corner or sometime? So that's on April the 10th. That's an evening course, 4 modules of an hour and a half. So just a short course, 6 hours. Later in the year, there's follow-on courses online and in-person stuff as well in the southwest of England. One thing about the online course, just to say that, so anyone who's registered for this seminar gets an opportunity to get £20 off that course. So it's normally 120, so that's £100 if you've registered for the seminar. So you'll get an email about this anyway, so I'll send that afterwards. So just a bit of a discount there. Any questions at all about what next, or focusing, or anything I've said as we come to a close? No, oh, hi.
I enjoyed what you said about what Charles Eisenstein said about needs. Can you just tell us that again?
Yeah, I can. It's from his book, A More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. I don't remember. It's in one of the early chapters. I don't remember, but I can tell you. Do you want me to read the quote? Yeah, sure. Yeah. He's a really interesting writer. I don't really. I love him. So, a multiplicity of needs go chronically, tragically unmet in modern society. These include the need to express one's gifts and do meaningful work, the need to love and be loved, the need to be truly seen and heard, to see and hear other people, the need for connection to nature, the need to play, explore, and to have adventures, the need for emotional intimacy, the need to serve something larger than oneself, and the need sometimes to do absolutely nothing and just be.
And what was the title of the book again?
I think it's The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible. Slightly lengthy title. The quote's also on a blog post I've done on my website, which I call Big Kindness. So if you want to find the actual quote, it's there.
Okay, thanks.
Great. Yeah, so thank you, everyone, for cheering up. Yep, you're getting some emails later on following up. If there's any questions, I'll hang around for a couple of minutes at the end if you just want to chat that way, or if you want to just email me, that's also fine. So thank you for joining me, and see you another time. Great. Thank you. You can unmute yourself if you want to say goodbye, or I can unmute everyone. Let me just do that, because I like to do that at the end.
Thanks, Peter.
That's okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Bye now.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.